Monday, October 8th, 2018, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. This is Matthew Cruz with the Comstock Report. I made my first trip to Japan last week. I was fortunate to arrive a few hours after a typhoon finally dissipated over central Japan. I am told that Typhoon Trami was the sixth typhoon so far this year hitting Japan, an unusually high number for what used to be a rare occurrence. Last year they had zero typhoons, but it seems the frequency in natural weather disasters appears to be increasing. This is not good for an island country dependent upon imports as the storms disrupt the shipping lanes. Japan has significant food security challenges. They are highly dependent upon foreign imports as only 40% of Japan's food is produced domestically. They learned a long time ago that they were going to need to form strategic alliances to help guarantee a steady food supply. While most Americans may have never heard of them, they have their own Cargill-like trading houses designed to maintain their long-term food supply. These Japanese trading firms are very large, very liquid, and are operating everywhere. I don't know why it surprised me, but one of the countries that Japan has latched itself onto for food security is Australia. Japan is Australia's second largest trading partner. This makes a lot of sense. Australia is physically closer and in the same time zones as Japan. More importantly, Australia produces a food surplus. There are about 25 million people living in Australia, and they produce enough food for as much as 65 million people. That is a 160% ratio of food produced to food consumed. The Japanese-Australia Economic Partnership Agreement eliminated tariffs on several horticulture exports, including almonds, taking advantage of counter-seasonal production. Australia seems to be benefiting greatly from this. Their land values have been increasing steadily, averaging 5% over the last 5 years, and it is expected to pick up speed rather than slowing down. Their land values were up 7.1% in 2017. This was before the U.S.-China trade wars began, which Australia stands to benefit, as does every exporting country other than the United States. The Aussies I met with were giddy as they told me that the trade wars have effectively removed the United States, their key competitor, out of the market. You are listening to the Comstock Report. 3, 2, 1. Australia's ag production is expected to reach $63 billion by the year 2022. I found it interesting the historical relationship between the U.S. and China and those of Japan and Australia. They each spent years building mutual beneficial relationships, exporting products that they were good at producing. The similarities end there. While the U.S. picks a fight with its trade partners, the Japanese seem appreciative of the relationship they have with Australia and vice versa. The Japanese do not see their trade deficit with Australia as a problem, as they clearly cannot send them any food production in return. On the contrary, the Japanese are looking to solidify their relationship with the Australians and vice versa. The only thing better than a good thing is more of it. I mentioned to one executive of a Japanese trading firm that now that President Trump has finished giving NAFTA a new name, he may focus his efforts on trade with Japan. He voiced concern that the U.S. would look to disrupt their automobile industry, as it is the centerpiece of their economy. He believed Japan would look to be as accommodating as possible if it meant helping to protect their auto industry. In addition to Australia, this same trading firm has made massive investments in Brazil. Japan has had a long history with Brazil. The largest population of Japanese outside of Japan can be found in Brazil. This was due to Brazil making an agreement with Japan back in the early 20th century, where Japan sent families looking for work to Brazil to help manage their coffee plantations. Brazil guaranteed them jobs while Japan reduced their poverty and unemployment. The Japanese migrated to Brazil by the thousands. While in Japan, I was given projections for what global trade will look like in 10 years. Brazil is expected to export almost 42% of all globally traded soybeans by the year 2027, compared to the 31% they currently represent. The United States is estimated to make up 37% of globally traded soybeans in 2027, compared to 43% today. In other words, Brazil will trade places with the United States as the premier soybean exporter in the following decades. Argentina remains a distant third. Much was discussed about the possibility of China increasing its soybean self-sufficiency levels. They currently produce 15% of their soybean needs. It was considered possible and somewhat expected that the Chinese will look to increase their own domestic soybean production. By 2026, they could be producing as much as 30% of their own domestic soybean needs. While this will still make them reliant on foreign imports of soybeans, doubling their self-sufficiency from 15 to 30% would be enough to disrupt the global soybean market. You are listening to the Comstock Report. For more information on marketing opportunities, visit us in Royal, Iowa, online at comstock.com, or call 712-227-1110.